T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Hey, welcome back. We got a big guest right now. We've got Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd Congressional District on the phone. And I guess a good question for you, Ann, this morning. Are you woke?
Barely awoke. Awoke. Awoken. I'm up and getting ready to head over. We've got some votes this morning and a multitude of meetings. We've got a lot of constituents that are in during late February, all of March. We kind of call it our own March Madness, where a lot of folks come to advocate on behalf of their of the things that they're looking to get done in Congress. So it's a good time. Yeah. A lot of meetings going on.
What about the insanity that is going on in the House right now on the Democratic side of the aisle? You know, again, this Roger Stone thing blows up. Everybody on the left is outraged over nothing. And now you've got Eric Swalwell and others trying to restart impeachment of the president over this silliness.
That would be correct. And so is the Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler and Intel Chairman Adam Schiff. So it is same old, just rinse and repeat. This has been going on for 3 solid years. I don't know what part of the people of the 2nd District and around the country want us to get back to work and get things done on their behalf. And they continue the investigation after investigation of this this president. But as I said, I think last week proved, and if you looked at that State of the Union, Mark, if you looked at the acquittal, if you look at the, you know, the polling numbers, how strong our economy is, how low our unemployment is, how actual middle class families are you know, are booming. It's the lowest rates in half a century in terms of unemployment. In our own state of Missouri, and I talked about this at the end of last week, or this week, real median household income is up over 8%. And working families have greater opportunities going forward. So, you know, we need to be tackling things like prescription drug costs. I mean, we supported a plan as Republicans in the House, but the Democrats have one that would just kill innovation and technology. Oh, yeah. And is DOA. I mean, we continue to work on our border. The things I care about, human trafficking and other things, are important. But right now, we're supposed to be getting a budget, and these Democrats won't even come to the table. So it's really too bad.
It really is amazing. But they're doing important things like trying to restart the Equal Rights Amendment, right?
That's today. I took to the floor, it was day before yesterday, and spoke on this issue. It is, you know, rarely, Mark, do I agree and quote Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but I did. And today on the floor, there is a resolution that the Democrats are putting forward that seeks to unconstitutionally remove the deadline for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. I remember, this was brought forward with 2/3 of Congress in 1972, prior to Roe v. Wade. And there was a 3-year extension put on it before the 7 years had expired. And in 1983, this was cooked and done. And by then, Mark, 5 states had rescinded their support of the Equal Rights Amendment. So what you had was Nevada and Virginia that were added to this. But the fact of the matter is, what this is all about is taxpayer-funded abortion, period, full stop. They will not take our Hyde protections that have been there for decades and decades. And frankly, as I said, they're unconstitutional. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg said again this week that if they want to do this, they have to start the amendment process, and I quote, over again,
yep,
as the founders intended. So, you know, and they can't do it with a simple majority, which is what they will do today. So
Well, I appreciate you pointing that out. We're talking to Congresswoman Ann Wagner, and let's talk about paid family leave. You and I have differed on this a little bit over the past year and a half. I know you and Senator Rubio had versions of a plan. The president brought it up again, though, at his State of the Union address. Why do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I'll tell you, this tight work market, and employers are really looking for ways to participate in supporting some of the needed requirements and things that help help working families out there, whether it's paid family leave. By the way, my plan and a couple of the other plans coming out of education and workforce and ways and means do not require any kind of taxpayer investment, or they don't impose business mandates. These are voluntary options that, help working families, like my Investing Your Family's Future Act, which we dropped just yesterday, that will allow child care expenses to be counted for the purpose of an employer match within kind of the and you know a lot of this financial services stuff,
sure.
But it would be included in their defined contribution plan, such as their 401k, meaning that an employer could treat child care payments that a young family is making as an elective deferral for purposes of the matching contributions. Again, completely voluntary, but, when you've got the average annual cost of infant care in Missouri at over $10,000, and for a four-year-old, it's over $7,000, a lot of these families can't put in their 401k money, and they're missing on their match. So employers will have the option of helping out, especially in this tight workforce where they're looking for kind of family-friendly policies, whether it be paid family leave, whether it be and there are multiple plans out there where people are taking either an advance on their tax credits, child tax credits. That's one that's out there. There's one that has an advance on the Social Security that you have already paid into the system that does not touch the trust fund, that does not affect current Social Security beneficiaries and retirees. There are multiple plans out there that you don't have to make taxpayers carry the load, and you don't have to put business mandates out there.
Yeah,
I'm looking for these kinds of things.
That's my concern, is mandating it to businesses. But if somebody's in their 20s, can you really say they've already paid for whatever Social Security money they'd be taking back out to pay for this?
Yeah, they have to have worked so many quarters, and that is absolutely a requirement. And they have to have worked so many consecutive quarters. And it's really no different in terms of the cost or expense of Social Security Administration than some of the work that they're doing currently on disability referrals and things of this nature. So we're just looking for ways for employers and for young families to stay in the workplace. If they don't stay in the workplace, if they don't go back to work, keep their jobs, they end up on taxpayer assistance. And that is a fact. If they can't have some sort of income, some kind of support coming in through a paid family leave program, they will end up on the public dole, and that's no good either. And we need to make sure that these options are out there. Again, that does not require new taxpayer investments or business mandates. Those are the kinds of things that are very important, and that I'm hearing from a big suburban district with young people that are working and are juggling the expenses and the concerns of a young family. And whether it's my new legislation that allows child care expenses to be counted for your contribution plans for the 401ks and get a match potentially by your employers, again,
right,
voluntary, or whether it's things like a family leave. These are important things that I think need to be addressing, especially in this tight, tight workforce.
Well, and again, you mentioned the budget deal, but I... The president sends out a budget that actually, for the first time in years, would reduce the deficit, and it's dead on arrival in Congress. How do we ever even begin to reduce the amount of money we spend in this country, Ann? I just don't know where we start.
I have a very strong record of opposing government waste. I ran as a budget mom back in 2012. And I'll tell you, Mark, one of the very first votes that I ever took was in Congress as a brand new freshman, was no budget, no pay, because the Congress had not been passing any budgets. And right now, the Democrats did not pass a budget last year. They have no plan to pass a budget this year. The number one thing that Congress is required to do constitutionally, given our power of the purse, is to produce a budget.
Right.
And the president's, and they have not. They have not. I think we need to go back. No budget, no pay.
That's a great idea.
You've got to have a plan that balances the budget, as we have done in the past. The president's plan does that over time. And I think we need to go back to no budget, no pay. And I'll tell you what, you were talking about the presidential race. If Bernie Sanders has his nomination and ascends, we're going to watch this budget deficit and debt, multiply it by 10 or 20. It's,
sure.
It's just a blank check for free stuff for everyone. It's been very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's insane. And keep up the good fight. We appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.